I want you to sit down with your SVP of sales, sit down with your marketing officer, and sit down with your CX, your customer success, customer service team. Put them at the table and say, I'd like each of you to explain how you're involved with closing deals. Now, the sales guy's going to answer. Listen to that answer. And if there's not a coordinated answer where everybody knows their role, then there's an immediate way you can goose your close rate.
Welcome to Aligned, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between sales and marketing. In this episode of Aligned, Sean and guest Donald Kelly, the sales evangelist, continue their discussion on how important getting the private commitment is before you can get the public commitment to move your deal forward. Obtaining both private and public commitment will take you on the path to close your deals. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
So another great technique is simply, this is going to go, you're going to go, oh, this is the most boring thing in the world. Case studies.
What on, those are great.
Well, I mean, how many times have you built a case study? Now, first of all, let's shatter the idea of a case study being a document, a PDF, a printed thing. I mean, it could be a landing page. A case study could be a review. I mean, are you using G2? You know, we actually point people to G2 or to a number of crowdsourced kind of Yelp, social media, you know, end user driven tools. So reviews actually. G2 and Heinz Marketing just revealed a study that said 92% of B2B buyers are more likely to purchase after reading trusted reviews. That's like the least aha headline in history. So if I trust this person and they get a good review, is that important? Yeah. You know, we do it all the time. We have a piece of technology that we lean on a lot and we like our customers to use it, but they're always looking at the 300 other options. So we just send them to G2 and say, why don't you do a self-evaluation? Private commitment. Will you go to this site, look at what other people say, and it's a case study. It's a review. It's a landing page that points to their needs. You know, and you want to include, you know, so what should be there? A private commitment needs to see what is the plan of action. If I chose to go with you, what would that look like? Remember, the person is looking forward, not looking back. We tend to, in this private commitment stage, or build landing pages going, see how terrible that was and see how happy it is now. It should really be about see how great things are going to be. And here's the path to get there. We've done this so many times. Here's the prescribed path. Hey, here's the problem. Here's the place where there's problems. Here's the place where it's easy. Here's the place where you got to communicate. I mean, give a forward-looking path. Build a landing page. Here's our process. If you, our buyers go through this journey, and then maybe in that there are hints, reviews, even if they're your own customers on your own website saying, we took the chance with Donald C. Kelly and we used his process and it worked for us. And this process is easy to go through. See, what I did there is I said the process was easy to go through. I'm trying to reduce anxiety. It had nothing to do with whatever it is Donald C. Kelly does. It has to do with the process of change. Like, take that barrier down. So, and if we were looking at behavioral science would say if you're going to try to quit smoking or lose weight, and getting in a group of people that are doing the same thing is effective, right? And that's what you're doing. You're creating a group of people. Oh, here's five people that have done this journey. They're in my industry. They understand. They're like me. And here's the struggles they had, and here's the results, and here's the path to the change. Without looking at, you know, here's a good consumer example. My guess is if you go to Weight Watchers website, they don't talk about being fat. They talk about the journey to being thin and how the journey is achievable. And here's other people who have made the journey. Now, they might glance at, here's the past, here's the future, but it's about the future. It's step by step. So again, a technique that you've got to consider in this private commitment is build a page for your website, a landing page that all your sales team can use that just defines the journey. Here's the plan of action. And inside that journey, let's say it's a five-step process, have a little testimonial at each step from, hey, here's customer Joe Smith that went through this step and loved it. Here's Sally Jones, and she discovered this about herself, and you know, like, and just let people tell their stories. You know, it's a effective form of giving a review, even internally. So, and then use external sources. You can even on those, on that journey point, you could point to other businesses like McKinsey. I love referencing McKinsey because, I mean, McKinsey's not threatened by me,
no.
Believe it or not. And I'll send a customer there. And if a customer can hire McKinsey and McKinsey wants to hire them, then they wouldn't have been happy with me anyway. But yeah. It's a great third-party validation of the advice we're getting is the same advice that companies like McKinsey are giving. So, you know, feel confident with that. All right. What else do you have to add to this private commitment before we flip the person over to the second big step in the commitment phase, which is public?
Yeah. I mean, I think another example real quick was we had an individual that came to our biz dev. We had that, I think one of the times we spoke, we talked about our conference that we were holding here in South Florida. We invited them to come. This individual wasn't able to make it, but she wanted to come virtually. She came virtually to the event. And then our sales team just kept, you know, obviously, you know, following up with everyone from the event and working with her. And long story short, it came to the point where they're now ready. And they went through a demonstration process. But when it came to the commitment, this is where we found out from her. She was a selling manager. So not only does she has to, you know, provide for her numbers, but she also had to ensure and kind of help the team. And then she had a director that she worked closely with, and she was the main leader in the organization. And one of the concerns that they had was like, what happens if I don't sell? How can we get the other three individuals, four individuals to actually step up and to sell well and to be successful in that process? And the commitment that she had to make the internal commitment first to say, yeah, I want to see improvement, not only for me, but I want to see improvement for my team. And once she made that, it was almost like a light switch went on, because then she felt confident. She felt ready. She felt that the need to push this thing forward. She got the executive buyer involved. And anyways, the deal progressed to the next stage and still progressing, where now it's potentially six people coming through a training program. And it's pretty awesome where this one individual, now it went to three, and now it's up to about six individuals from the team coming through.
By very definition, public commitment, right? They made the transition from a private to a public commitment.
Yeah.
Probably a good technique at the private level. I mean, have one-to-one classes, one-to-one opportunities, one-to-way a conference, a book, publish a book. I feel like I should go in and sell a copy of Shift to all the listeners right now.
I know. They should all get a copy of that.
They should. It's incredible. That would simply be the worst Christmas present ever, just for the record. If you don't know what I'm referring to, Rockbench Publishing out of Nashville published a book for me a couple years back. And no, don't get it for anybody for Christmas.
Don't get it for your spouse. You might get Shift out the house.
That's right. Shifted. That could be the next book. Shifted. Stories of people who gave Shift for Christmas. We've got to move toward the closing table. Donald C. Kelly, everybody wants to know how to get more deals across the closing table. So we started by saying, 38% win rate. So win rates are always going to be measured, at least, at the table. So we mentioned that the reason to go through private commitments and that preparation stage is more people, when they do make a public commitment and do buy, they stay. So we mentioned at the top of 36% of companies see higher customer retention rates when people have gone through this journey of private and then public commitment. They tend to make the commitment stick, right? So they understand it. They've really decreased their anxiety. So where are we at? We're at the closing table now. Centricity says there's six effective techniques, best practices at the closing table. And then there's multiple, almost limited number of techniques, but we're focused today on commitment. So first the private commitment, which is middle of the funnel. Now we're at the closing table. How do we make the public commitment work? So first of all, let's exhibit what's going on, right? So there, the buyer is exhibiting action. They haven't bought yet. There's not an exchange relationship yet, but they're deep into the specifics of the solutions. They've assigned budget, resources of time are set. You're seeing changes in thinking and emotion. People are saying, give me a proposal. Tell, you know, let's really dive into this and put this down on paper. So notice I didn't say the preparation stage was when they say, give me a proposal. We talked about how we can go there too fast.
Yeah.
So you gave people safety with the intent of change comes anxiety. So the way you counter that is to give people safety. Now we're at the closing table and they are saying, what's this look like? So what's the goal? So the goal here is to help this individual, the buyer, to reveal this thing, this idea, this change to other decision makers, to other influencers within the organization where they work. You have to have proved that you're trustworthy. You have to have given them a glimpse into what working with you looks like. So let's go back to that last technique. Have the journey. Hey, if I hire you, what's that look like? Build it on a landing page so people can go there. Because what's going to happen? Donald and I work for the same company. I'm convinced we should buy this thing. I go to Donald, the CEO, and say, hey, I think we should buy this thing. And Donald says, well, what's going to happen next? And if I say, gosh, Donald, I don't know. I'm in trouble, right? You've got to equip me. So we all have been taught to go find those advocates in the company, right? We've got to equip the decision makers and the advocates with the information they need. So when the executive, when CEO Kelly says, well, talk to me about the resources, what problem it solves, and what the journey is going to be like, you've got to be equipped with that. That's a second, probably a public commitment technique, is to make sure you've got those three things. So we've got to minimize that anxiety. You don't want to let anybody think they're going to fail. If they do, then they're just not going to take forward.
Company culture and retention are directly connected. After all, if you fail to build good company culture, you fail to retain top talent. At Fitzmartin, we help leaders like you raise their NPS scores from the low 60s to the high 80s, and more importantly, present a plan to help you do the same. Creating a company culture based on a shared mission is the differentiator that attracts and retains top talent. And Fitzmartin is here to help you create a cohesive strategy to reach that goal. Visit fitzmartin.com/solutions. Again, that's fitzmartin.com/solutions to learn more.
Another key thing that the behavioral science, the Changing for Good, says is the buyer now has ownership of the plan. Not the seller. Mm. The buyer knows their pain points. They're active. They know what it's going to take to move forward. And they're investing in the plan. Would this work? How should we approach? Who should we talk to? What's the schedule on that? What's the timing? You know, we've recently just gotten through equipping a decision maker over a consulting offering we have. And they're going to their decision makers, their executive team. But we've equipped them with all of that. So it's actually the buyer has total ownership of the plan, which also means they can come back and say no, right? It's not me manipulating them to buy. It's us working together to find the best solution. So it's in their interest. So that buyer has ownership of the plan, and it's not something I jam down the throat. So you might say, you just got done telling me to have a landing page with the steps on the plan. Yeah, right. If you hire us, these are the steps of the plan. Now, the buyer has to understand that what could I possibly not have on my landing page with the steps of what happens when you buy? I couldn't possibly know your culture, your locations, your geography, your specific business needs, the timelines that you're going to be able to work. I don't know. Maybe the end of the year and it's Christmas holidays and it's not a good time to switch your core technology right before Christmas. I mean, there's all kinds of things that plan has to be thought through and owned. The process and principle, the steps are there, but the plan has to be, you know, detailed and accurate. So it comes back again on the public commitment of finding ways to go public. So we come back actually to similar techniques, the same side selling, the three things. You know, what problem are we trying to solve? Mm-hmm. What happens if we don't solve the problem? And what's the outcome if we make this investment? And what Ian Altman says he's studied this 10,000 executives. When they make the decision to buy, so at the C-suite level, the public commitment phase, what do they ask? So You know, you'd say, well, they're going to ask about the technologies, the features, the benefits, the longevity of the product, and how many people they've done it before. And interestingly enough, what Altman's study says is there's three questions they always ask. What problem are we trying to solve? Oh, okay. What happens if we don't solve that problem? Because there's times that you don't. I mean, one of my car mechanics is great. His name is Scott. And Scott will say, you know what? I wouldn't worry about fixing that right now. You know, he won for life the first time I heard that. It's like, well, what happens if I don't fix it? You know, nothing. And he'll explain it. But it's I'm trying to think of what, you know, it's like the air conditioner vent won't quite work right, or, you know, some silly inconsequential thing. But, you know, I got to know what problem, if we don't solve the problem, how many of us have prepared answers for that?
Yeah. And I think I would say if you're on the buyer standpoint, if it's just the internal side, a lot of times they don't. If it's on the, you know, the salespeople didn't give them quite that, prepare them for that. Then if you're on the public, I mean, on the seller standpoint, you know, you asking, if client asks us, I mean, sometimes sellers, if they're green or they're order takers, they don't know how to answer that per se. They'll give the surface level, the, you know, responses. But, you know, that way you can give them the, you know, as a come in as a consultant and explain and give a little bit more detail. Like, this part isn't as critical because you have this in place already from what you shared with me. However, but how do you, you know, maybe I feel the era of the order takers are dying off and playmakers need to be around, and playmakers sometimes realize that I don't want to jeopardize the big deal for something small that I don't need right now, but helping them to make that commitment to come in. Go back to your mechanic. He's like thinking, I'm a long-term picture here. Sean's car is going to have other issues. AC vent not turning as it's supposed to. Nah, not that big of a deal. Is the AC working? Yeah, because he needs it in Alabama.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, the heater on my wife's car just quit working. But the good thing is we don't really care here because it doesn't get cold. You know, I think these three questions, what problem are we trying to solve? What happens if we don't solve this problem? And what's the outcome likely? What's the likely outcome if we make this investment? If we can go to our lead, our advocates in these complex B2B sales, and say, what we'd like to do is equip you. If you go to public, you know, you can talk to the other C-suites. Research shows these are the three questions you're going to get asked. Would you be willing to work with me? And I can help you answer these. So you're really equipped when you get these questions. And the questions may not come in this exact words, but you're going to get asked these three things. And what's interesting about it is, what problem are we trying to solve? Let's go back to the earlier step of private commitment and the concise business case. Remember that email, that simple, hey, we're trying to solve growing our company from $5 million to $20 million in the next 5 years. Oh, I thought you said you had a proposal from a sales and marketing consultancy. Yeah, I do. But we're not trying to fix sales and marketing problems. We're trying to fix our revenue. We're trying to achieve our revenue goal from 5 to 20 million. And that was in that concise business case. So that's the problem we're solving. What happens if we don't solve the problem? Well, we'll probably continue on our growth rate of X percent, and we'll be a $6 million or $8 million business in 5 years. Okay, that's great. What's the likely outcome? Well, the obvious answer there is you're going to be a $20 million company. Well, the reality is, you say, well, you know, most people, for example, at Fitzmartin, we know that most people that will invest with us, for every dollar they spend with us, they get $284 in top line revenue as a return. So, like, there's ratios there. There's measurable outcomes that are likely outcomes. Does that always work? No. We've had some situations where we did good marketing, got the right leads, target account list, and actually probably our worst is I'll even take blame for this. We didn't ask who was going to close the deals, and we discovered, this is a ridiculous sentence. You're not even going to believe me, Donald. We discovered after the campaign was in market, they had nobody assigned to sell.
No.
I'm infamous for saying if somebody doesn't wake up in the morning thinking about selling something, that it won't happen. So, but yeah, they had no dedicated salesperson. So did they get their ROI? No, they did not.
No way.
And it was my fault. I should have asked that question. I just forgot to ask. And I didn't even think to ask, honestly. You know, so anyway, you've marketing and sales alignment. I mean, how can RevOps and customer success, I mean, all of this weaves together at this point because you're at the closing table, right? So customer success has to be involved. So if I buy, what's the future look like? Oh, here's the person you're going to be in charge with. Bring them to the table. Have a plan. This is your account executive. If you hire from us, this is the person who's going to be guiding you. So we're going to decrease risks. We're going to lower the risks of, well, so if I buy from you, in fact, I've gone through this cycle twice, and my guess is I'm a glutton for punishment, but twice I bought from this business and said, well, who's my lead going to be, my advisor? We'll assign that after. Okay. I just trusted stupidly. And both times I've gotten people who were not the best professionals. And first of all, the good question is, why would I have bought? I pushed through my anxiety because my desired outcome gave me enough courage to do it. Either that or I'm just not the brightest bulb. You know, you've got to find ways for all three of these areas, sales, marketing, and customer success, to lower risks, to eliminate anxiety. So that future state has got to be demonstrated. And that's that likely outcome. The likely outcome is we're going to have a team of people. We're going to have this result. We're going to get this much in the marketplace. We're going to do X, Y, Z. We're going to lower our cost. We're going to increase our revenues. Whatever those outcomes are, you've got to define them. That's that future state.
Someone I was speaking to recently, going back to what you were sharing there, we were talking about CX, like customer success, and how oftentimes they're, you know, underrated. Like people don't necessarily take advantage of how important customer success is. But one of our clients was he had a situation similar to what you were saying, where working with this executive team, they're trying to make the decision, looking if they're going to go forward or not. And there was an objection that came up. So one of the strategies we gave them was like, you need to bring these other people in that's going to show them those, as Donald Miller said, these are the places to step in this, you know, to cross the pond. So the salesperson could say it. He has his sales engineer who can demonstrate it. But there's nothing as great as having that customer success. And they brought in a VP from the customer success area to kind of guide and say, this is how we work with companies like you to bring you on board. And it was like a no-brainer. It's like, how come we didn't think about this before? But they're sleeping giants right there, man. There's like they can add so much benefit and so much to the process. And this one, the companies that look at this and see this as, you know, as revenue generation and not just revenue departments, as opposed to just like, you know, this is our different silos, but no, this is revenue, marketing, sales, and customer success, all revenue. We need to be one. Like then all of the stuff that we're, you know, explaining here just makes sense. And anyways, I'm speaking to the choir on this one.
You are, but I'm going to turn that into a great challenge. I was working with our producer, Alex, before the show, and we were talking about what would a great test be of this public commitment? Is your business equipped? And we came up with one. So executive, CEO, I want you to sit down with your SVP of sales, sit down with your marketing officer, and sit down with your CX, your customer success, customer service team. Put them at the table and say, I'd like each of you to explain how you're involved with closing deals. Now, the sales guy's going to answer, right? But the sales guy's going to answer based on his needs or her needs and getting the deal signed. They're not going to probably say, here's how we should use marketing. Listen to that answer. And if there's not a coordinated answer where everybody knows their role, then there's an immediate way you can goose your close rate because every department is involved. And that can have so many expressions, so many techniques. It could be workflows. It could be follow-up notes. It could be emails. It could be landing pages. It could be a customer success onboarding pilot. It could be, there could be 100 ideas. But the test is put those three officers together and see how they answer that question.
Ooh, I'd like to hear some of those. Record them. Let's make an episode out of it.
Deal. Well, y'all, listeners, send them in. Tell us what happens when you try it. So I think the techniques that we've shared will help you with leveraging this idea of private than public commitment. My takeaways for you is if you want to close those 40 to 60% or more deals and have that retention rate elevate of the people who do buy, commitment is incredibly powerful. Takeaway is you got to understand commitment has two steps and there's not a length of time that it takes to go through this, but there is an order, it's sequential. If I'm privately not committed to it, then I'm probably not going to go public. And if you can somehow make a public commitment of it, meaning a buying or take it to other decision makers, then the odds of me sticking with your purchase. So even though I've bought, I'm still not committed. That doesn't sound like a customer you want, right? An uncommitted customer. So you've got to go through the journey of private commitment, then public commitment. Separate those two things. We've shared a few techniques today that have specific application, and we can't, Donald and I both can't wait to hear what happens when you sit down sales, marketing, and customer success and ask them how are they helping close more deals. Should be interesting.
So I can't wait to hear it.
Let's go to the next episode. I'm sure y'all are binge listening, and we've got it. So we did it. We talked a long time today, Donald. We're going to break this episode, or we did break this episode to make it easier for you. But listeners, I hope you gained some ideas here. I hope that there's some practical application, and we welcome you to come back to our next episode where we will share one more best practice in the series of nine. Donald C. Kelly, as always, thank you. And if somebody wanted to, it's a pleasure for me. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Easiest way you can do this, you can go onto LinkedIn and find me, Donald C. Kelly, or you can go to our website. We have some opportunities for you to take advantage of checking out our podcast, as well as some of the free resources that we have, tips, tricks, strategies to help you as well when it comes to sales. So go to those spots, thesalesevangelist.com or Donald C. Kelly on LinkedIn.
It'll be worth your time. Can I go to your website and make a private commitment and learn something?
Of course. Sign up and get our free sales course.
Are you going to immediately call me and say, bye, bye, bye? Or are you going to give me some safety?
Oh, you'll get some safety. You're definitely going to get those emails to make sure you have access to it and to ensure that you're doing it right. Not a big push, but you'll get a phone call to make sure that if you got all the tools that you need. We want to make sure, when we see, go back to this, I see that sometimes folks to get those free courses and they put it on a shelf. I want to make sure you do it, because when you do it, it will give you a hand, a distance. You take advantage of it as much as you want, but just making sure you have it. And if you need help, we're here in the corner. You can come over and talk to us.
Fabulous. All right. Till the next episode of Aligned, go sell something.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.